Challenger several years ago. Do you remember? Okay. All right. Well, anyway, that was what was going on. I felt in my spirit that there was like molten lava underneath the foundation of the house. And, you know, you get a little bit nervous if you're sitting on top of an earthquake or a volcano. And that prophecy came, and I thought, wow, that's a powerful prophecy. And that there was molten lava that was going on underneath. And I feel like that underneath it all, and you can look out at a circumstance with the eyes of not so much understanding, and you start going, when is this thing going to happen? When are these things going to happen? But I find out that God knows when it's going to happen. Amen? And I don't see the molten lava going underneath, but I thought it was kind of a cool, I didn't know what to do with it, but cool prophetic word. There's something going on underneath, and I really believe the underneath is something in our hearts.
Yes.
You know, something that really is something in our hearts, and you don't even discuss it with too many people, but it's going on in your heart. You go, wow, something's going on in my heart. Wow, something's going on. And on this Resurrection Sunday, something's going on. I know my Redeemer lives. Can't you feel that? I know my Redeemer lives. When we start singing and we start proclaiming the Redeemer of the earth and heavens, he's real and he lives. That's so powerful.
Amen.
And so I was looking at this. I was in prayer meeting, and it was four of us in prayer meeting yesterday, and I just felt like I needed to grab a pencil, couldn't find a piece of paper, so this was a napkin that I wrote things that he was saying, that I felt that he was saying. No, things he was saying. All right, I'll do that. Okay, and in John 11, verse 17, let's just read a little bit of the Word of God. And it starts out, I am the resurrection and the life. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days, talking about Lazarus. Now, Bethel was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. This is a traditional statement made by many. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary to Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in a place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her and in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. If you're needing a memory verse, start out with this one. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Come, not this, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time it stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you also heard me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Now in reading this area and in a time frame, if we call it a timeline, this is right before Jesus was going to go through his trial, his time of confusion, his time of making that choice. As Jamie opened this service, he had a choice. And so he was preaching and teaching right up to the point he wasn't getting ready to die and be resurrected. But he was even to the place that the resurrection was right before them through Lazarus. And using Lazarus as, "Hey, do you see that I am the resurrection and the life?" And through him, the whole world was going to change. You know, as Bishop Jeff was talking about today, in the prophetic word, hallelujah, you know, it's about that. Things are changing around us. Things are supernaturally doing something in the Holy Spirit. And it is like something underground. You really can't see it until you can see it. Now, I know that there's one place down by the cities right now. They're in their 136th day of meetings every day. You know, something's going on in the Holy Spirit. You can't see it until you can see it. You can't see what's going underneath the ground until it comes above the ground. And I really believe that God has secrets laid up for us that we're going to begin to see what the prophets have begin to speak about. Can you catch that?
That's good.
Can you catch that? Okay, when I go like this, if you would participate, then you can just look at your neighbor or something and just say, "Did you catch it? Did you catch it? Can we try that? Let's just work on that. Did you catch it?" Okay, well, a couple of them worked on it. You're going to have to catch it. Amen? So Jesus, in verse 25, said, "Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, even though he is dead, yet he shall live." That's a faith statement, man. That was a faith statement for anyone, but today... Okay, that was a faith statement to everyone, but did they
catch it?
Yeah, you got to catch it. So, going on, and this was in a prayer meeting, it was just that the Lord kept on saying, "Did you catch it?" And it almost got to be playing a game. "Did you catch it?" And I wrote something down. "What, did you catch it?" And I really believe that God is trying to get us an understanding that we can catch things. You see, things that are taught need to be caught. Okay? And I really believe the logo of the Word, which is the written Word of God, you read it. Reading the Word of God makes you feel very, very satisfied because you did not a religious duty, but you grabbed something in the Spirit that you said the Word of God is very, very important. That's the logo. But the Rhema Word is something that you catch in the Holy Spirit. You got to catch it. Yeah. Now, last week, Tom, as he was sharing a pastoral message with us, it was the best message, now, bar none, that I have ever heard. Did you catch it?
Come on.
Okay, I've got a mic, so I'm much louder than you, but you can get loud here. Did you what?
Catch it.
All right. And so could God actually done something with Tom Ramsey in 2018 that was the best sermon? Now, judging on my area, and I've heard a lot of sermons, but I heard something in the Holy Ghost. It was a realm of the Rhema.
Come on.
And I... Did we what?
Catch it.
Important. I've been thinking about this for a great length of time. So Lazarus' story, what were we trying to do when we read this? We were trying to catch it. Okay, so let's take a look at Martha just in her, you know, walk in the Lord. She certainly loved Jesus, right? And she believed that Jesus could do a lot of different things. You know, a lot of things. But then when it came to, you know, raising the dead, you know, did she... Yes or no? Did she catch it? Huh? Yeah. Well, I'm trying to... Okay, so the thought of it... Jesus told her that I am the resurrection and the life. And so with that, she come out with a statement saying, well, you know, yeah, I understand that he will raise on the last day. So she was catching a traditional thought that if you go through with Christianity, you're going to see Jesus on the last day. Well, Jesus was saying, well, I am the resurrection. I am the life. And yeah, I know that. But again, the same Martha that was saying this very, very spiritual, religious, you know, yes, I know on the last day, a few more verses down, she said, if you take the stone away, he will stink. Okay?
Right.
So did Martha actually?
No.
She didn't catch it. You know, it was, I mean, she was doing everything she was trying to do with it, but she didn't catch it. And it's important to catch revelation of what Jesus was saying, of course. You know, when the prophets, again, in the Old Testament, when the prophets were saying something and speaking it, did they
catch it?
Girls, did they
catch it?
This role, did you catch it? Okay, Jeremiah, he lived for 42 years, prophesying for 42 years. Did they
catch it?
No. They killed him. And he didn't miss one prophecy, not one prophecy. Jeremiah was that's why they called him the weeping prophet. I think God weep after 42 years of doing everything that he possibly could give what God gave him, and the people couldn't catch it. Is it important to catch things? I think it's very important. In the day that we live, we have so much word. You can go, you can do anything and everything to have the word of God. It's so easy. You can go on your cell phone, you can pick up, it'll read it to you, it'll do everything. But that's teaching, and that's the thought and taught by hearing it and receiving it. But if you catch it in the Spirit, and that's what Jesus was saying. You did traditionally saying, yes, I believe that you're the Son of God. She went through the whole thing, looked good, but she didn't catch it. So we go on, And so the resurrection, did we catch it this morning? You know, I guess I ask our question now, because Martha, I was going to talk about Martha, but I have to put my name in. Jake, did you catch it?
Come on.
All right. So we have to catch the revelation of the resurrection. What is the resurrection? I think we have a pretty good thought of Jesus dying on the cross for us. Did we catch it? Yeah. I think we caught that. And usually what we do is we sing and we talk about the life of Jesus and how he paid the price, and we couldn't make it unless Jesus died on the cross. And we're explaining that in Sunday school and this and that. But when it comes to the resurrection, it's a difficult grasping point to catch. Okay, well, he rose from the dead. What does that mean? And as Joan came and prophetically laid that out, it's reckless. Resurrection is reckless. You have to be a reckless person to believe in the resurrection. And it's not easy to catch it. Did you catch it? All right, so we go on. We got this resurrection now. And I love the song because it started out, it explained what went on, and it had a redemption story to it, that we are redeemed, and the resurrected Lord came and he gave us power over death, over the grave, over every force that could hold us it captive in any way, shape, or form on planet Earth. Jesus broke the powers of sin and death, and we need to... We need to catch it. Hallelujah. And so, did God have a good plan?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess maybe I'd have to ask. Sometimes I'm reading the Old Testament, I'm going, that is a crazy plan. I mean, you talk about reckless. You know, he gives you the Ten Commandments, tells you to not kill, and then he goes and tells you to kill everybody. You know, I'm trying to grab a hold of it. But the Ten Commandments was really laying out something that we couldn't because of our fallen state, that we could never fulfill them. And the enemies of the cross, why he was so tough on them is if you marry into him, or if you embrace him, or if they become your God, then you will follow that God instead of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Really, that's what he was saying. He said, if you follow them, and that's the reason that I'm kicking them out of the country, and when you go in, you kill everything. No one will survive. Are you happy about that? And did you? Oh, you guys, man, I tell you what, one thing I know right now, I'm preaching a lot better than you're responding. All you have to do, what is my line? Did you catch it? I caught it. I did it, yes. Okay, so then we go on and we find out that Jesus had a plan, God had a plan, okay? And he thought about this plan. And then Jesus got included, that he spoke the plan, and the Holy Ghost came and the Holy Ghost administrated the plan. Right? That's where you get the revelation. Jesus doesn't come down usually and show himself to you, speak something into you, and then I woke up in the morning and Jesus had visited me. You know, I've had a few encounters, not as vivid as that, but it's usually the Holy Spirit comes to you because he's administrating the plan that God thought and that Jesus spoke. And the Holy Ghost doesn't talk about himself. He talks about what Jesus did. And Jesus didn't talk about himself. He said, I only do what the Father tells me to speak. That's good stuff. I mean, wow, you know, if the Holy Ghost administrates a plan of God, which whether it come from the stage singers, whether it come from a preacher preaching, whether it comes from someone prophesying, it's a great plan.
Yes.
If we catch it. Yeah, if we catch that thing, it's powerful. And the wild thing is we are people of diversity. You know, I mean, each person is so uniquely made. God made you, the brain that he gave you, it's one of the kind. And so with grabbing this, it'll look different. You know, Heidi back there, if Heidi lays out a redemption plan, it'll be different from my mouth than hers. Her redemption plan, it's going to be the same redemption plan, but she's going to speak it much differently than I speak it. And so that's diversity, but in diversity, it's a great thing that we're unified. Today, we're unified in the Holy Ghost. Did you? All right. And so then we have the plan of redemption. Okay, the plan of redemption, I don't know, was it a good plan that God had? Yeah. And then I had to look from Genesis that he had planned that before it even happened. Before Adam and Eve had anything with sin to do, God had planned it. It was a planned deal. It was a governmental decision that God, the government of the kingdom of God, had already planned it. He knew about the redemption work that was going to go on. He started with the redemption work right from Genesis, run all the way up to Malachi. And then in that stretch of time, he had told the story what was to come to pass.
Yes.
You know, you can't get hung up on one verse. You have to say, that's the redemption plan, and God had just planned about 4,000 years of planning, and let's say before the foundations of the earth, so it could have been a million years. But God planned it.
Yeah.
And to catch that, it's wild.
Yeah.
But that's who we're serving. We're serving a reckless, wild God that knows everything that's going on. And he knows our heart. He knows a new covenant deal with us, that grace washed over us and changed our life. I'm changed because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Tom's been teaching, and we've been working on game changers. The game has changed. Can you? Yeah. The whole church, God's shouting out. The game has changed. We have a resurrected Lord. We have one that, whoever you are, whoever you think you are, you need to rethink who you are.
Yeah.
Because that's not really you. If you're out in left field, that's not really you. What God says is you.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
And usually God, what he starts speaking, man, is a mind-blowing deal, because that's who God sees you as. And you start following that path, you're going to change day after day. So God planned the body of Christ. I thought the redemption plan was fantastic, but God planned the body of Christ. And in that body, God just said, okay, I'm going to have a many, many membered body, just like our parts and our legs and our toes and these things all work. That's the type of body I'm going to be in. It's going to be healthy. It's going to be diverse. My thumb doesn't take over my ear's place. I like my thumb where it's at, and I like my ear where it's at. So he has diversity, but it's a unified deal. Pastor Tom and myself were just talking about when we were down in the Mardi Gras, and there was 100 people that got together from the Assembly of God Church downtown New Orleans, and there was 1 million people at the Mardi Gras. Okay, that's a lot of people. But when 100 Christians or 150 Christians got together and began to march, and they marched in unison like about five, and I was looking, I wasn't part of it, but I was looking, I'm going, oh no, we're in trouble. You know, and I mean, I'm a Christian, I'm thinking, wow, we are in trouble. But the fact is, there were Christians marching at the Mardi Gras, and 100 Christians scared 1 million people, including myself, because it was a unified march. It was something that looked like, wow, this thing is together. And you know, when the Bible talks about when two or three get together, that unified deal is powerful. Can you
catch it?
100 people. And I think there was 1 million people out there going, what in the world's going on? Someone organized something.
Yeah.
Someone's believing the same thing as each other, and we all caught it, but we didn't understand it Because it's so powerful when you unify in unity around Christ Jesus the Lord. And this is that area was in 1 Corinthians 12 where all the spiritual gifts were laid out, right? And it talked about administrations and stuff like that. When we get together in a unified effort to do a move of God, watch out. The devil will not like it, but we're not out to do what the devil likes anyway. And we start marching according to the drumbeat of heaven. Hallelujah. So I think that's a pretty good plan. Each person doing, being the called out ones to do God's will. Each person, you know, you're a part of the body. And my knee, if my knee hurts, my whole body hurts because my knee hurts. But when I'm feeling good, I'm feeling good. And I can carry on like that because I've got my other parts that I'm relying on. Do you know that I rely on you majorly? You say, well, you know, Jake just goes and he does this and he does that, and you probably think I do. But I rely majorly on this body, have since the very beginning of it. I mean, I'm just going, would you like me singing up there every Sunday? Wouldn't be many left, or I'd be singing to myself. Because I've got body parts that sing. You know, I might be a tooth, but there's not a lot of sound coming out of my tooth. But when the praise and worship, or administratively, when you're moving administratively, do you know how many companies go down the tubes because of bad administration? Wow. Most of them. And usually all of them go down because of bad administration. You know, without administrators, we're in trouble. When Darla administrated the roles this morning, I mean, governmental procedure. It's a government deal. She knew what to put in it. Now you can see that I'm really understanding what to put in a roll. And I always wonder how they get the syrupy stuff on top and all the bread in the middle. You know, that's my... So you don't want me doing that. That's not my part. Hallelujah. And so we see these great things going on that God sees us as a great part. You know, everything needs governmental procedure. And you know, we're right now, we're in, you know, Dave Wagner came in the place of a prophetic person. And so we came out and we listened. Okay, so what does that mean? And he didn't prophesy over all of us. He taught us, or at least challenged us to prophesy. That you will prophesy. And parents, you're wanting to prophesy over your kids. You're wanting to encourage them. You're wanting a word of the Lord for them kids, and they need it. You know, not everyone is a apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, but we have to understand that your family needs every aspect of that. And that's why God said, I am going to lay down a government that is going to raise up godly children, that are going to raise up kids that catch it because the parents
caught it.
Nice. You know, I mean, you catch it, you caught it. Ha, yeah. Here we are. Our kids are changing because you caught something. Yeah. You know, you can read the Word of God and you can apply it to your children, but sometimes that doesn't work because you have to catch it in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. You have to catch it at the time that it's happening. Amen? You know, you can talk about sexual purity to a child that's 10 months old. I don't think it's appropriate. You know, there's a time and a season where you have to catch it. And you can read the Word to them I read at 8 years old and they should have caught it. Well, you have to catch it and you have to keep on bringing that and bringing it and bringing it. And at an appropriate age, you're going to really put the pressure on because it's the Rhema Word that they're going to have to face on the earth that they live in. Amen? Hallelujah. And so, in your personal life, you need to
catch it.
Okay, what's a prophetic word to Dwayne? What's a prophetic word to Dwayne? I'm not going to prophesy because it's already been prophesied over you what the prophetic word was talking to you. And others might say, oh no, that's not Dwayne. But what God says, that is Dwayne. And so then we can say, hey, I heard the word of the Lord. You see, we need to back up each other. We need to be that deal. Well, yeah, but he doesn't deserve it. Well, none of us deserve anything. But through grace and the goodness of God and a reckless God, he's taken a chance on us. Amen? Hallelujah. And so how about moving a little further on? You get it personally, and then it comes into your family.
Yes.
You know, and pretty soon the families, they're catching it. They're catching, yeah, I hear you, Dad. I hear you, Mom. And then in your church, because the family of God, one thing about it, we have the same Father. And wherever you go, you can say, well, I know that person. Oh, no, you don't. She or he doing this and that and the other. Hey, has nothing to do with anything. That's not who they really are, right?
Right.
Because God says this is who they are. So you have to get over on the God side saying, this is who I am. This is what I do. This is me. Hallelujah. I got revelation because I'm catching it. Hallelujah. And then it goes into, and this is the deal that we're doing on the 19th and 21st. We're wanting to catch how we're going to take these prophetic things, connect them. You remember the three engines, the train engines?
Yes.
When we connect to the power source, we're a car, a railroad car that is filled with all of the ambitions that God has placed in your life. And now they're coming. So when the train stops, when them three engines stop somewhere and they have all supplies to take care of everything, they stop in a city, we take over the city.
Yeah.
Well, you can take over a city? Absolutely. We got three engines, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's where the power comes up.
Woo.
We hook in. Every car represents the gifts and callings of God.
Yeah.
All of the gifts and callings are yes and amen. And you hook up to that, and when you stop, you take over the city. We are not coexisting with cities or countries. We're taking them over.
Nice.
Hallelujah.
Nice.
Well, how dare you? Yeah, well, he does. I mean, he's Creator God. He does dare. He had a thought. Holy God had a thought. Jesus spoke it.
Come on.
And the Holy Ghost accomplishes. He accomplishes it. Are we in the Holy Ghost? We catching Rhema? Hallelujah. Resurrection Sunday. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. What if God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost said to us, this is the message from me. Okay, so last week I was saying that Tom, our pastor, had this message. Okay, I agreed that Pastor Tom had a message, and I believe that it was from God, and I believe that it was a message that was actually orchestrated by the Holy Ghost that would change our lives forever.
Woo.
Did you
catch it?
That would be a question. That would be a very, very important question. Did you catch it? How many people caught it?
Woo.
How many people listened to it on the YouTube or our website? Okay, did you really catch it? Is Lazarus still dead? Uh-huh.
Come on.
See, that's a big deal. Is we can catch and forget so fast that we're looking for another word.
That's it.
But if we get the word, it's going to change your life.
That's it.
But Tom will preach another word, and I believe that if Tom preaches it, or Jeff prophesies it, or our singers sing it, or you come up and prophesy something, I believe that God is using you as a word from heaven. I believe it. I believe that God gave you the word from heaven. And you'd say, well, what if we make a mistake? Do you think God cares? I mean, you should have seen me. I was one big mistake. God doesn't care about mistakes. God cares about you stepping in to a place and saying, well, this is what God said, and you go and say it. And what if the pastor rebukes you? Praise God. But a good chance he won't. He's so happy that someone else did something in the body that he didn't have to be the single part of it, that he's just rejoicing. And other people get so excited. I'm going to do something too. Hallelujah. All right. So, are you catching it?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And my thought here is I kind of, you know, I get myself into spots. You know, I get myself into situations that I don't really like to get into because it requires faith. And it requires long-distance faith, like 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. Our conferences, when we put on a conference, it costs right around $15,000. If you have speakers coming in, people flying from here, there, and everywhere. And so starting in July, the pressure isn't on too much because I got 6 months or 5 months thinking that this is going to happen. And then we meet as elders and we talk about how much this is going to cost and this and that. And you go, whoa. So I'm on the phone, I'm calling everyone, I'm telling everyone this is going to be the greatest conference that's ever been because God's going to be there and all these things. But it's the pressure of faith. What if a many-membered body got together and said, hey, I'm going to do everything that possibly can. I'm going to see it moving heaven and earth to have this thing happen. I'm going to invite my friends. I'm going to invite my enemies. I'm going to run people down. I'm going to invite the people, the beggars off the street. I'm going to do everything that it takes to bring forth revival. So, in that thought, are you? Would you please stand? Hallelujah. Jamie, did you catch it?
Yeah.
Why you caught it is because you're part of it. Jeff, did you catch it? I know you caught it. You were catching something during praise and worship. Wow, did we catch praise and worship?
Yeah.
You see, you got to catch it. You can be taught it, but you got to be caught by it, overcome you.
Yeah.
Somebody has some good. How many kids are in choir right now in the high school? Okay, we got one, two. You guys can sing then. Yeah, you can sing. What does that mean? Can you catch it? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit. We're wanting to catch something. We're wanting to see things changed in our entire lives. God, that you'd take our job situations and that we'd catch it. We'd catch that you love us, you care for us so much that you're going to give us the best jobs. You're going to give us jobs that are mind-boggling because we're in an apostolic move, not only in a move of personal prophecy, but in an apostolic move, which means that God thought it. God thought, and then Jesus began to speak it and saying, the kingdom of God is here. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, you're wanting us to be heavenly saints that are sent here to do the will of the Father. So we pray right now for the movement of finances for the kingdom move of God. We catch the Father, we catch the Son, we catch the Holy Spirit, and we are cars, we are railroad cars filled with the provisions of God. And when we go in, we open up the doors of heaven on communities. We open up the call from heaven on personal people because you know everyone. And God, it starts at one, then goes to two, and it's multiplication from there on. And we thank you, Lord, for your move. We thank you for Resurrection Sunday, Lord, that this is almost like a new time. We can step out of the old things and we can move into new times. And Jesus said, to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, even though he is dead, let him say, I shall live. Father, we ask, Lord, that we live today each person's life, each person's thought that it's alive. You dead things that seem like wasn't going to be a dead or just going to be a dead end street comes to life. We believe right now the life of God is in each one of us. We ask now, Lord, on this Resurrection Sunday that each person will catch something in the Holy Spirit that's going to change their whole outcome, the whole outcome of what's going on in the earth. We release your blessing. We release your peace and goodness and kindness upon this congregation now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God bless.